There's a phrase that's entered our vocabulary and entered our speech that talks about safe spaces. And sometimes that's talked about in very positive terms. Sometimes it's talked about in somewhat derisive terms. But I've just borrowed it, okay? I just borrowed it for our use today. Because I want to talk to you, I think if we apply this portion of God's Word to our lives consistently, our mind can become a safe space. And you understand, our minds can be a battleground. Our minds can be a place that are difficult to deal with. But fortunately, God gives us a plan and a pattern and His Word on the subject, how this can become a place of safety, our thinking can become a place that we can reflect God's values, that we can move forward for His glory. It says in Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thinking is so critical to that, and it's the reason we've been spending these weeks here at the beginning of 2020 thinking about our thinking. But how to keep your mind a safe space? How do you do that? What's the how-to of that? Well, if you will look here in Philippians 4:8, let me just read it for you. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, what you see in front of you, you see the verse there. And by the way, if you're using the bulletin outline, we've got that verse just like you see it there printed on the back. I want to encourage you to, if you would be so inclined, to maybe just take that and put that somewhere so you can meditate it on this week and be a little reminder. Maybe you can commit this to memory. I have a little problem saying this verse because I learned this years ago in a different translation, and it ends in that one, think on these things. Factually, I just find that a little more pushy, but meditating these things means the same exact thing. So how do we keep our mind a safe space? Well, he's given us a list here. He says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are, and then he gives us this list. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, just, all these words that you see in the list. So part of where we begin is we need to take this list and take this set of boundaries, set of realities that we are to think about, and put them into play into our lives, first of all, to allow us to avoid thinking the wrong content. If we fill our minds with these, it will push out, it will evacuate from our mind, or at least start that process of moving out those things that we think about that are not wrong. So here's where I want to begin. I want to take this list, and I want to tell you what's the opposite of each of these, okay? Listen, because I think there's an opposite. There's an antithesis. And if we look at that, that might just key us in on some things that we shouldn't think about. And by the way, this is not going to be fun, okay? I say that in all seriousness. This is not fun. This gets down into the deep of who we are. And I got to tell you, I don't feel real comfortable thinking these things. But it's necessary, because all of us would probably be shocked if there was some way we could, in data form, diagnose how much of our thinking is not in tune with what God would have us to think. Okay? So now that we all feel uncomfortable together, let's plow ahead into God's Word. Okay? So what should we not think? Here's what we do. We think the opposite of what is on this list. Okay? So here's the opposite. So let's think our way through. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Well, what's the opposite of true? It's that which is false. We need to learn what is false to detect it and to remove it by thinking what is true. Now, you understand that wrong thinking can just sort of creep into our minds from our environment. The people we hang around with, the wherever we happen to be, it can creep in from that. It can creep in from what we listen to. It can creep into what entertains us, what we read, what we're exposing ourselves to. So we have all of this on the outside. And this world is no friend of following the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, a lot of people spend a lot of money. I know I'm going to shock you with this, but there's a football game to be played later today. Did you know that? I didn't thought. It's a public service announcement. But just to get you to think a certain way about their brand or their product or their cause, advertisers are spending anywhere from $10 to $11 million per 60 seconds to put a commercial in the Super Bowl, just to get you and all of us to think the way they want us to think. So it's a value. So we have all this on the outside. And then we have this on the inside as well. I mean, we still have the marks of fallenness. Paul calls it the flesh. that tend to think the wrong way. So this we understand. So think the opposite of this list. So that which is false. Well, our environment and ourselves sometimes tries to convince us that, how could you be a follower of Christ? How could you be a Christian when you said that, did that, went there, thought that, did that again? How could you be of any value to God? How are you ever going to serve God? Why should you even bother to go to church and hang around with those religious people, seeing how you are? We have these thoughts. That's the false. Well, the truth is, God says, as you guys just sang it so well, we're sinners saved by grace. We're the objects of God's love, His grace, His mercy. And He says, you are my child. Nothing is going to change that. You're an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. And someday I'm going to take you out of this mess. And you get to take up housekeeping with me in my own dear place. So that which is false. Go on down the list. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Noble is high and lofty, godlike, heavenly, spiritual. What's the opposite? That which is earthly and fleshly and just sort of debased and low. Think high, don't think low. Think noble, don't think the stuff of this world. So he calls us, we need to avoid that thing. That which is attached to this life, and by the way, you know, all the stuff, here's the bad news. It's not bad news, actually. All the stuff that you have, all the stuff you have under your roof or in your attic or your storage building or your garage or stuffed under your bed or in your closets, someday it's all going to burn up. That's high thinking, to think that which is eternal. Low thinking is stressing about all this stuff. Now, we need to be good stewards, and I understand that, but that's what we think. Now, the next word, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, right, righteous. Those right, righteous thoughts. Well, what's the opposite of that? That which is unfair, wrong, unrighteous. Things that are sinful. Things that are out of harmony with God's will. We need to replace them with the right thoughts. I'm going to tell you how to replace in just a moment, a little more depth, so we'll come back to that. He talks about being whatever things are pure. What's the opposite of pure? Impure. Impurity means there might be some good stuff, but mixed with it is some bad stuff. He says, don't get into that mixed way of thinking and just kind of thinking it's okay and allow your mind to think that which is impure. I'll tell you how to replace that in just a moment, too. And he says, whatever things are lovely. Lovely things pull us in, right? Lovely things are attractive to us. He says, what's the opposite? Well, that which is unlovely or repulsive. Don't think about those things which push you away and should push people away. Find those things that are lovely and positive. And sometimes we are so practiced at just thinking the worst of everybody and thinking the worst of them and those, and we just go there to our own detriment. Think things that are lovely. Think right thoughts. Then he says, at the end of the verse, if there is any virtue, virtue speaks of cost and value. So the opposite of virtue is something that is worthless and useless. How much time do we spend just thinking about things that are useless and worthless? It really doesn't matter. It's not going to matter in the end, especially when there is a God who is on the throne and we think of Him. We should replace that with some thinking. I saw a tweet from someone I follow the other day. It's not an exact quote. I should have clipped it out, but I didn't. But they were talking about what's going on in Washington these days, and the person said, I have good news. We have a leader that will never be removed from office, does not face term limits, and someday he's going to provide free housing for all of his children. Now that is a virtuous thought. That is a thought of value. Okay? And then there's one more. Whatever is praiseworthy. Well, what's the opposite of a praiseworthy? That which is condemnable. That which is rejectable. That does not deserve any praise. How do people feel about that? Well, how should godly, righteous people feel about that? How should we react to this? He says, reject those things, as he says in the end of the verse, meditate on these things, think on these things. So all these things that creep in, we need to get out. We need to review the transcript of our own thinking from time to time. And as we do, as we listen in on this, we become a little more aware, because most of us spend a lot of time unaware of how defective our thinking is. Now, let's get to a little more positive approach to this. If we need to avoid wrong content, we instead need to add the right content. And this list that's in that verse representation you have in front of you, which is in the chapter and verse in front of you in the Bible that we're looking at studying this morning, gives us a list. And sometimes I've thought of it this way. If you just think of these as posts on a corral, okay? And you just sort of, they kind of, if we bound our thought by this fence, in the inside it's safe. Inside is where God could work. Inside is where he can do some great things of reprogramming our thought life. And God has given us this wonderful thing called our mind. Now, oftentimes we study it in just its physicality, okay? For instance, they tell us that there are 12 to 14 billion cells in our brains. I just throw that number out, but I can't conceive of it. That's way bigger than I could ever calculate, but it's huge. And we're making, and each one of those cells may be connected to up to 10,000 other cells directly. Now, how all that works, I'm not smart enough to figure out. But God gave us this wonderful capacity to think. So he expects us to make sure that we are putting the right content into our minds and limiting the wrong content. So how do we add the right content? Well, we add that which is on this list, okay? That we do that. We talked a moment ago about listening in on our own thoughts. You see, we need to catch when we are thinking wrong, the opposite of this list, and replace it with what we should think. Just to try to eliminate bad thoughts without replacing them with godly thoughts is an endeavor in futility. Well, I just don't want to think about that. I'm not going to think about that anymore. You can't do that. Your mind is going to fill your mind with something else. And by the way, our minds are so easily suggestible. Just to tell you not to do something doesn't work. For instance, if I said, I want no one in this room, experiment now, I want no one in this room to think about elephants for the next 10 seconds. Don't think about elephants. Don't think about their long trunks and their floppy ears and their little rope tails and their big feet. Don't think about when you saw them as a circus or whatever. Do not think about elephants at all. Every one of you had an elephant in your mind, didn't you? I just stuck one there. There's not an elephant in the room. There's one in your head. Okay? So just to try to eliminate thinking, you can't do it because something is going to creep in there. What we need to do is we choose to think these thoughts. And every opportunity, even failures, are opportunities to learn how to replace our thoughts. So let's go through this list again, and let's define as best we can what this means. Maybe a second run through will really help us. And then we're going to do another little exercise to help us this morning as well. So, finally, brethren, and by the way, this verse does exist in a greater context. This beautiful letter to the Philippians about rejoicing in the Lord, about all they have in Christ, about how great and mighty Christ is, this one who is worthy of all the glory, humbled himself and went to the cross and all those sort of things. And he talks earlier in this chapter about don't be anxious for anything, but pray about everything. We looked at that verse sometime last fall in some detail, that we need to pray. And God will give us peace. Later, he's going to talk about generosity. He's going to talk about contentment, all these wonderful things. But sort of tucked right in the middle of all these grand concepts is you meditate on these things. You think on these things. And the first one on our list is this word true. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, fill your mind with truth. Fill your mind with that which is accurate, that which is in harmony with reality. And obviously, this has a connection to the word we'll talk about in just a moment. That which is noble. Get your mind thinking about the Lord. Get your mind thinking about him. Thinking about how much he loves you. Think about how much he's done for you. Think about how much he's promised you. How faithful he is. How utterly dependable he is. How he loves you no matter what. And you can't find anybody else that'll love you. Even if you're well loved, you're not going to be loved like that kind of love. Loved you enough to send his son to be your Savior. One who comes in and lives his life with you, who wants to hang out with you and I. Can you imagine that? God himself. Noble, those high thoughts, those just thoughts, whatever things are just, what are right. When you detect something's wrong, replace it with something's right. Paul does this throughout his teaching. He says, you know, don't be stealing, but rather you labor with your hands so you can give to somebody who has need. It's not just don't steal, but you use your hands, your activities, your mind productively to give to somebody. You take off, you put on. When you evacuate something bad, you put something positive in there. That's a principle that we need to adhere to. That which is just, that which is pure. We have impure thoughts, things that take us outside of the realm of what God should have, what God would have a godly man or a godly woman thinking about. Sometimes it might go back to last week. By the way, I told you last week, I said, we talked about loving, choosing in our minds to love, and how do we deal with difficult people. And I told you, I suspected every one of us would have an opportunity to put that into play this week. Several of you have been brave enough to tell me already that you had that opportunity. For some of us, we were that opportunity, probably. But part of this, of thinking that which is pure, is God says, you don't return evil for evil. He says, I will repay. You don't have to get even. You don't have to settle the scores. You leave that to me. When you think that way, you are thinking a pure thought. The impure thought is, when I get a chance, they're going to get it. When I get a chance, I'm gonna hook a little barb in a little harpoon of language, and I'm gonna just shoot it right into them. You know, that's not pure thinking. Think God's thoughts. That which is lovely, that which pulls people in. Just be a person that's attractive in your thought life. By the way, I know there is no such thing as mind reading except from God, who does it completely and fully and keeps a permanent record of all said thoughts. But for us, we're not mind readers. But what if our thoughts, what if you could just plug a speaker in and everybody heard everything you're thinking? Would that be a scary thought? It'd be confusing to walk down the street hearing it all, but if our thoughts were laid open, would that be that which we would feel that would be attractive? I mean, most of us wouldn't go out of the house without trying the best to fix up however our appearance is, right? We're gonna try to make sure we look good and our hair looks good and we all look good and we're all accessorized and all that sort of thing. How would our thought life, what would it look like if it's on display? It should be lovely. Good report, that which is good news, not that which is bad news, which is the opposite. And then virtuous, think things that are of value. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes entertain, decompress, chill out, but if that's all we ever fill our minds with, that's going to come up empty so much. Praiseworthy, that which is so worthy of praise to God and praise of what people are doing, that people would call out if they could hear our thoughts, says, that's something good right there. That's what we think. Now, there's one other aspect, just to do that which is on the list, but that which is biblical. And I want to suggest to you that all of that list that you see in front of you is all connected to biblical truth. And we need to fill our minds first and foremost with content, which is the Word of God. You're off to a great start this week. You're spending 35 minutes of your time right now in real time studying God's Word. One little verse of it, okay? So good start, but this is not enough. If you ate breakfast this morning, that's not enough to get you through the week, okay? This is not enough Bible to get you through the week. But I want to demonstrate to you how you can find these kind of concepts in the Word of God. And I want to take you back, if you want to turn there, fine, or you can just listen, fine, it's a familiar passage. I want to take you back to Psalm 23 for just a moment. Probably the most famous passage in the Old Testament. Many of us memorized it as children, and we're very familiar with it, okay? So I'm going to take you there. And I want you just to think through this list applied to this psalm, okay? You ready? All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. True or false? Whatsoever things are true. Oh, I'm living like an orphan. I'm all alone. Nobody cares. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever goes my way. I'm jinxed. I'm ruined. The Lord is your shepherd. I'm going to do without. You shall not want. May not be everything you want, but what you should want, you're going to have. He's going to provide for you. That's whatever things are true. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, there's a noble thought for you. That God wants to change us from the inside out, and when He's all done with it, we're remade in character just like Jesus. That's a high, lofty thought. He goes on. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's a just thought, isn't it? I mean, justice is, in the presence of my enemies, you're going to reward, you're going to honor me. That's a just thought. And if you go back up just a little bit, he says, he restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a pretty pure thought, isn't it? The pure motives of God. He does it because he wants to. He does it because he's God. He doesn't do it to get something from us. He doesn't do it to trap us. He doesn't do it to trick us. There's no gotcha. I do it for my own name's sake. That is very, very just, pure. And then lovely. Go back to the part where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters. If you're a sheep, that's as good as it gets. That's sheep heaven right there. Tall grass and still water. That is a lovely thought. I'm hesitant to tell you because some of you are just going to zone right. It's going to be worse than the elephants a moment ago. You're just going to go to green pastures and stay there. But that which is lovely. And then he says this in the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is good news. That's a good report, isn't it? That's good stuff. That's also virtuous. That's of some value. If God says goodness and mercy is going to follow. Literally, goodness and mercy is going to chase after you. Goodness and mercy is going to pursue you all the days of your life. That's all the days of your life. That's today too, no matter how it's going so far. One more, and this is entirely praiseworthy. Last on our list. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy in this life, house of the Lord forever. God doesn't offer us term. He offers us whole life, doesn't he? And he says, it's all covered. Praiseworthy. So as you study the Word of God, you're going to run into that which is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. You want to change your thinking? You be a student of this book. You fill your mind with this book. You think about it. You meditate on it. You let it run through the courses and the channels of your mind. And it'll change your life. Go back to Philippians 4:8. We'll be there the rest of our time. So we avoid the wrong content by avoiding that which is on the list. We add the right content, what's right here in front of us. And all of these things have behind them biblical realities that we fill our minds with. We gave that little example from Psalm 23 just a moment ago. But then there's this last little phrase at the end of verse 8. Meditate on these things. Think on these things. Thirdly, let me give you the first two again, all right? Avoid the wrong content, add the right content, and you need to adopt this right choice way of thinking, that we choose to think these thoughts. You see, this will not work unless we work. Now, there's one exception to this rule, and let me just make sure I get this in. This renewed way of thinking, this change of thought that will change your mind and change your life, only works if you're genuinely one of God's children through faith in Christ. Let me just read, you don't need to turn there, but I'm just going to read a little phrase from Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. In other words, if you're not saved, your mind is just set against God. You're hostile toward God. The only way you're going to have a renewed mind and let this Word of God change your mind and change your life if you are one of His children. And perhaps maybe we all know Christ this morning and we're all believers in Christ. That would be a wonderful thought. But I don't want to miss sharing some good news for even one person that maybe is on the outside looking in this morning. It is simply this. You can be one of God's children, and He will come in, and He will start with this process of change in your life and change in your mind. He will do that. But you need to come to this place that you admit that you are a sinner. That should not be hard. You have good examples all around you. It's the common denominator of all humanity. We have sinned and come short of His glory. But the Bible says that payment for that sin was paid for you by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. The wages of sin is death. He died for you. He did that for you because he loved you. And we become one of his children when we take that gift and we just say, by faith, I accept that as mine. I believe that's what will save me. I believe that has saved me. I trust in that. You mean you don't have to do anything? No, it's already been done for you. I have to go through some ritual? No, everything's been done for you. Now, if you come to Christ, things need to change and things will change, and he will start with your mind and work his way out. But to become one of God's children, to have your sins forgiven, have your eternity secured in him, and to start this process of an inside-out change in life, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. As Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Period. That's it. If you're here this morning and you never put your faith in Christ, I would appeal to you. Just trust. You can trust him right now in the privacy of your heart. Just accept that. Say, that's mine. I hang on to it. If you'd like to talk to one of us as a pastor or a Christian friend you came with this morning, that's fine. But just find somebody that knows the Lord Jesus, their Savior, and we'll be waiting here to talk to you. Just say, hey, I help me with this. I'm going to make sure. I want to get this settled. And we'd be glad to share with you from the Word of God, pray with you, whatever. We're not going to trick you. We're not going to manipulate you. We're not going to force you to sign a card. You're not joining anything. We just want to talk to you about where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and before God. We'd love to have that conversation with you. Also, I'd say this. When it says, think on these things, sometimes we as believers, we just think, oh, my goodness. There's so much messed up. And we just think, I just keep thinking the wrong things. I keep going back doing the wrong things. Let me tell you this. This put this in form of word pictures. The shirt I wore in the last service, I didn't wear it here because it didn't match this blue jacket. But I told the folks over there, the shirt I'm wearing today, I'm really proud to wear today because a few weeks ago, I got oily stains on the front and back of it, like grease stains, like off the car grease stains. I'm not sure how I did it, but I am a stain magnet, okay? They just are attracted to me, okay? And I remember looking at this once I saw what I'd done, and I'm like, I take it off, and I was like, you know, this is a nice shirt. Pay good money for it, but I'm just going to have to just throw it away. There's no way. Now, my wife, I'm the stain magnet. My wife is the stain ninja, okay? She was determined. I don't know how many times this shirt went through the washing machine. I don't know how much she has all this stuff you scrub and put on there. I don't know what it is. But she worked and worked and worked. And after multiple, and I saw it hanging up in the laundry room. And, yeah, it's fading a little bit. And then there'd be another run through. And it's a little less. And finally, it's hanging in my closet, clean, pressed, ready to wear. I thank her for her service. But that's the picture. You know, changing our mind is not just point action. It's not just flipping a switch. It takes constant cleansing. It takes constant practice. It takes going through the washer again. It takes running through the Word of God again. It takes those moments when we've totally messed up and get the black box out of the debris field and take a look at it and just, if nothing else, say, what should I have been thinking there? And maybe run through the dialogue and the routine to just practice, if nothing else, so that maybe you can prevent it in the future. And sometimes we think, well, you know, I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like that. Your feelings are not what should be in control. If our minds are thinking the right thoughts, we will do the right actions. And if we're doing the right actions, we generally feel good about it. And sometimes you just have to do it, even if it doesn't feel right or good, because it's what God says. You think these things, you don't think those things. So don't get discouraged and don't give up. Maybe you just need to get your mind back in the laundry and put a little bit of that stain-killing stuff on there and just keep working and make some progress. Because he says here, meditate on these things. You need to catch yourself when you're off track. That's what I was just talking about. A failure should at least be an opportunity to learn and to practice. How can I do it differently? To catch yourself and replace. Catch and replace. Catch and replace. Secondly, you need to choose to get back to your mental safe space. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. And if you look at that phrase at the end of verse 8, that is not optional. This is not optional equipment. This is not just, you can add this on if you want to. No, this is what Almighty God says in the pages of eternal, divinely inspired Scripture, to me, to you, to us, you think on these things. And if we think on these things, naturally, we can't think on the opposite things. So for us as believers, hopefully empowered by the Spirit of God, as we seek to walk in obedience to the Word of God, we need to get back to this place of safe thinking, and the list is right in front of you. We printed it out on the paper. You can stick it on your mirror, or on your dashboard, or desk, or whatever. But may God help us. May God help us to do what you're about to see on the screen in front of you. Think on these things.